Hello and welcome to the 8th Manx Footy Pod of the 2019-20 season. Today, myself and Dave,
hi everyone,
are joined by a photographer extraordinaire and FC Isle of Man chairman, Gary Waitman. Gary, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Thanks for a second visit to Podcast Towers. I was just saying, I was listening to the first one last night, Dave. Do you remember that? It was one of our early ones.
It was, yeah. It was back when we were still finding our feet a little bit.
Still haven't found them.
We still haven't.
But, still stumbling.
But Gary brought a touch of class to the podcast that day.
As always, safe pair of hands like you play in Korea, yeah. Gary.
Third sub that time. I'm first sub this time.
Don't say that. There's always a place for a substitute.
Yeah.
Although I did find out a very interesting fact this week, Dave. Now, I don't know if you saw Peter Gilbertson died last week. He was Mitch's twin, obviously two of the great names in Manx football in the 60s and 70s. Played for Old Boys and Paul Rose, didn't he? Dave, I think that's right. I think it was the 1969, one of the cup finals.
Was it the 68 one?
Yeah. So Terry Vincent, this is a stat for you, became Sir Terry Vincent. As is known in certain quarters of the West, became the Peel's first ever substitute in that cup final.
Wow.
And that is a stat and a half.
Yeah. Colmore has supplied us with that, but yeah, it was a game that Peter scored a hat trick or something.
I think he certainly scored anyway.
But Sir Terry came on and became Peel's first ever sub. So you're in good company in the substitute bench there, really.
Good to know. I don't think I'll get a stand named after me.
You never know. The FC Isle of Man win the Champions League. The Gary Waitman corner. Right, we've got lots to discuss today. But before that, to the biscuits. Now, if I remember last time you came in, you weren't overly impressed with my offerings. And I can't remember, it was something
it was those dairy milk things. So, it was bloody awful.
So I've braved the weather, I've gone over the road, and I've got some breakaways. Now, you've also been very, very kind. And you brought in some yourself as well. So we've got some jammy dodgers.
Oh, classic.
I'm hoping that wasn't like, because he knows I'm a Liverpool fan, he's trying to make some sort of hint Liverpool are jammy.
And some 8 Chocky Horror shortbread coffins, which of course are very seasonal.
Very seasonal, and they didn't have any Easter eggs in yet.
It won't be long until cream eggs. They tend to start. I think they were in before Christmas last year. Right, ooh, they look interesting. So these are the coffins. We should have to take a picture of them, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Social media later.
I reckon we could probably Photoshop Gary's face onto the front of the phone. Just into there, yeah.
All right.
Not bad.
No, nice.
I'll try one of
them. Tony Short, pass on our regards to the chef. Yeah. Right. Well, I'll just finish my biscuit. Before we a step behind the lens, so to speak, we should have a chat about FC Isle of Man, Gary, because obviously a few weeks ago, we had the vote, which was 25-1.
Excellent.
Quite a resounding result, you'd say, in football parlance. Yeah. But, and that means the FC Isle of Man is now, of course, associated to the Isle of Man FA.
Well, not quite yet. There's still rule changes to carry out
before
that can actually be official, but we'll be affiliated for next season, the 2021 season.
So does that have to go before rules revision in March?
It is, yeah, there's rules revision to carry out. Yeah.
And that's sort of the dotting of the I's and the crossing of the T's,
yeah,
as well.
Very much so, yeah.
So we're going to have to talk about that. Now, people might not know, that you're actually chairman of FC Isle of Man.
Yeah, try and keep it low-key.
Now, this, in football terms, is usually the man that splashes out £10 million on a new striker, isn't it? But I'm guessing that's not quite the same at this
not
level.
Not quite the same, yeah. No, not quite.
So,
you'll have to start charging more for your photos if that's
Right, so we should sort of... How did you get involved in the project? Now, I'm stealing this question from Patty. He actually sent this in for the listeners' questions, but I'm going to steal it. But how did you get involved? And talk us through a bit about the role of being chairman, I suppose.
I got involved, really, from the start with the FC Isle of Man Facebook group that Jonesy started, and sort of started commenting on that a little bit. And then Paul asked if anybody wanted to be involved. And I'm one of those people. You know, I've been chairman of Cromborne, managed football teams, been on the FA board and whatever. So... just one of those people who can't say no. If there's a AGM and they ask for somebody to do something, I always think everybody's looking at me. but basically, simply because I've been involved with Alan Vannon and the MIFA.
And you've probably seen more Manx football in various guises than most over the last few years, I think.
Yeah, and I've been away with a lot of the FA sides and whatever, so it's been... wanting to get the guys playing at the highest level they can, it's that is what I want to do, and it's that that's driving it as a whole. And I just find it's been a little bit frustrating with the way things have gone in the last sort of probably 10 years. I think Ellen Vanning, if it had been done in a different way, maybe could have been, you know, a road through, but that hasn't happened. So, and it's something that's been talked about for a long time. I remember having conversations back sort of 10 years ago, even longer ago, when I was playing cricket, when the champion club would go and play in the Lancashire Cup and then the Lancashire Plate Trophy. But that was, you tend to be one game a season because you got drawn against somebody. And we were always saying we should be playing across every week, or trying to play more across, so you only get better by playing over standards. So we'd had that conversation in cricket and that didn't really go anywhere. And even 10 years ago, I was on Guernsey photographing a veterans hockey team from the island that was out there. And the hockey ground happened to be right next door to Guernsey's football ground. And one of the days we were there...
Foots Lane, is that?
Foots Lane, is, yeah. That's it, yeah. And I was trying to pull that from them, well done. And I remember chatting to one of the guys. There was a balcony overlooking you. There was 1,500 people arrived to watch this game. And I think it was at the point when Guernsey were playing, like, they had to play four games in a week or something.
Yes,
to get,
I remember that.
I think it was that season.
Yeah.
And there was 1,500 people watching this game. And we said, why isn't this happening on the island? Why haven't we got a team like this? So it goes back a long way. And Paul and Lee Dixon have had those conversations with Steve Burns and whatever over the years. And Paul's, in the last year, done so much work, so much research, so much talking to people, to pull it, to get to the point we are now, really. And always happy to lend a hand where I can, really.
So as chairman, what's the ins and out of that? Or is it very much a blank canvas at the moment?
At the moment, it's pretty much a blank canvas, although obviously I chair the meetings we have with the sort of 8-9 of us that are involved at the moment. Try and make sure we've got an agenda for those meetings. I've been to a few other meetings outside that with a sponsor and also with the government. So it's that sort of the face of it with Paul. You know, Paul's obviously our spokesman because he knows it inside out.
And back to front.
So it's that sort of role and trying to just try and keep the momentum going.
We talk about momentum, and I know we've had this was a big milestone we've just passed, getting the FA vote, wasn't it? What's coming up next now? When I've spoken to you at the games and stuff, you said December, we've got a big one coming up.
December, we've got to get our application into the North West Counties for them. It's an application that they put forward for us to the English FA. So we've got to get everything as far as we can down the road. We've got a form to fill in, as there always is on these things. And we've got to get that completed, hopefully by the 1st of December. They want it by the 1st of December.
Okay.
Obviously, we're trying to get it done before then.
Yeah.
And that involves a lot of things, again, what the chats we've had with government and so on, come into that form.
And have they had to send representatives of their league committee over?
They came over when the island played Cheshire.
Right.
We tried to keep that pretty low key, really, because we didn't want to be seen to be putting any pressure on the FA here.
Yeah.
At all, so they came over. They had what they call a ground grading visit, which was a visit to look round the bowl, see what work did need doing to it to be able to play in the North West Counties. There's not a great deal, as you can imagine.
The
bowl's a fantastic facility.
Yeah.
So there's little bits of work to be done, and also they gave us a steer towards, hopefully, if we get promotion over the next 2-3 seasons or whenever, what work would be required. You know, there's things like segregation may be required for visiting away fans and so on, that sort of thing. So, and we had a very good meeting with them following that ground raiding visit. And it was good to meet them face to face, having just dealt by email and so on over the last year or so.
And everything I've seen on social media that you agreed, Dave, is they seem quite receptive to the idea, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they're very enthusiastic. And as a league, they're very sort of forward thinking. They're very hot on social media. You've probably noticed,
yeah.
And that seems to be they've really pushed that, and that's something we need to get on top of. Really, we're doing okay, but we need to move on as we get closer and closer to actually being a football club.
Yeah, because I think we should just I don't want to crush you, Dave, but we should reinforce this is next season. Hopefully,
it is. Hopefully, yeah, 2021. Yeah, so August.
Less than a year.
There's a lot to do. An awful lot to do. We're very aware of what we've got to do, but there are staging posts that we know we've got to meet.
Yeah.
And if we can meet those, then things will happen.
All I was going to mention was you talk about the league being receptive, but it seems to be that the reception from the teams in those leagues has been very positive. A lot of the fans are talking about how much they want the away trip to the Alaman and things like that, which
is fantastic. I mean, that's part of the selling point for us to government and to the island as a whole, really, is that if we can get even 50 fans coming over from every other week, that's 50 hotel rooms, it's 50 flights, it's 50 people spending money in Douglas on a Saturday night. So that's a real help. And there's other sides to that, the fans. I mean, you've obviously heard of Groundhoppers.
Yes.
And we spotted our first on Twitter the other week, who's mad keen to come and visit.
Yeah.
And if we can offer them something over a weekend where they can visit 3, 4, 5 grounds in a weekend and see a game at those grounds, then all the better. That's more tourism to the island. So it all adds up to a big thing for the island, not just in football, but also as a business and hopefully culturally as well.
And how have the local government taken to it over here? They really very much on board.
We've had a couple of very good meetings with them. Yeah. Hopefully we've obviously got to provide them with quite a lot of information, as you do. But that's moving along. So I'm really pleased with the way the government's been. They've been really receptive.
Very positive.
I know you've both laughed at me at this, but I did the non-league show the other week and I did the podcast.
Yes.
And my ramblings will go down in legend.
You only have to ask one question.
Well, you sort of went quiet a few times and I thought, well, I've got to grasp my chance here. I felt like I was representing the country, Gary.
No dead air.
No dead air. He would not let him breathe. There's obviously interest from across off Ireland about this, isn't it? Now, I know there's been a lot of focus on doing stuff over here because you wanted to engage the community. I know it's a very buzzwordy way of saying it, but you wanted to do that. Have you had lots of interest from off Ireland, from the non-league paper and stuff like that?
The non-league paper, I've not personally had, but I think we have had something in the non-league paper, but not really, only on Twitter.
Right.
There would have been a lot of interest on Twitter, and there's been a couple of articles been written elsewhere on various sort of websites and things about coming to the island. Everybody sees it, as you say, a great weekend away, which is great. More grist to our mill.
Great.
As Jersey said when he was on, he turned it into like a festival type thing almost, like a whole weekend of...
Trying to make it into something like that. Whether you could do that every Saturday, I think, because you've got to remember that local fans are going to come and they're not going to come to something, a festival every week.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's great. And we don't know how many fans we're going to get coming from across. we might only get 10 or 20. More than welcome, but if we can get 50, 60, 100, because if we get it as a reputation as being a great weekend away, then that, all the better. You know, if we can grow that, and obviously it helps on the gate at the bowl.
Now, I know this is probably miles down the road in the grand scheme of things, but kits.
Yeah.
Has there been any chat about that yet?
We've had some chat. We haven't talked about colours. We have talked about having some sort of competition to help us design the kit and the
badge. I've got some new felt tip pens I found the other day.
As long as you can colour inside the lines, there's talk of a competition in the new year to design the badge and the kit.
Yeah.
To help us do it, I think, so we can get that. But no, we've got no particular fixed ideas. We've had conversations about what our favourite kits have been in the past, but I can't divulge that.
Oh, no, I wouldn't expect you to. Nicknames?
Man City Sky Blue would be...
I'm sure that would be the away kit.
Yeah.
Nicknames, any?
No, we've not had any nicknames. I think they grow out of things, though, they're more organic than us saying we're going to be called the Vikings or whatever.
Because, obviously, Jersey Bulls are the new boys on the scene. Yeah. I don't love that. Because it sounds like they've just ripped off Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
It's a very strong imagery.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I presume it's to do with their the cow bovine stock.
So, yeah.
Not that it's a load of bull.
But yes, I'd stick away. It sounds very Americanized, doesn't
it? Yeah, I don't think we want to be Americanized. We want to be Manx.
FC Isle of Man, I think, is lovely because it has connotations, doesn't it? Of we can see
it's got to have Isle of Man in the name, whatever. You know,
so, yeah, I think you're bang on. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about FC Isle of Man in it. We've obviously had some questions about it, but back to the day job, as it were, the photography. Now, last time we had you, we spoke loads about how you got into it and stuff, so I do really recommend you have a listen to that if you haven't heard it already.
You struck me to sleep.
But we'll just have a quick recap. What's the best pick you've taken this season? Now, we were
this
just saying,
season. Oh,
it's been a bit of a stop-start season, with the weather and the FA game and the festival of flipping motorcycling. Yeah. Everything has conspired to make it very bitty.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is it? Have you had any crackers out in the can?
There's a nice one of Danny Laneler last week.
Yeah.
Peel just taking a shot. Mm. But other than that, there's not been anything that's really sort of stood out, I don't think.
Jumped. Yeah. I think last time we had you in, you were saying the Sam Kane overhead kick at St John's Friday night game.
Classic.
And Dan Wade's getting absolutely.
One I got of Mikey Booth was at the end of last season.
Can't remember, maybe.
The overhead kick. That was a lot. I like that click, and it was a bit further away, and you got a bit more of it. But no, there hasn't been anything, particularly this year, that's really stood out. There's a nice one of Lacey.
Right.
And
Mikey
Williams.
That was lovely with the rain.
The rain, that was quite nice.
That to me summed up an Old Firm match.
Yeah, and it's nice to have the stand in the background as well. Yeah, it always helps.
Do you have a favourite Isle of Man, like a representative side photo? Is it the one where Callum's celebrating after the...
There's that one with the kids around him, which was brilliant.
Yeah, we talked about that. The unbelievable match, the 5-3, wasn't it?
There's a nice one from the first Alan Banning game that I think you put on the front of the cover of Final Whistle with Pekka jumping up over a player.
The infamous Monaco match.
Let's talk about that the better, I think.
Well, it's funny, this week I saw that Liam Doyle, I think, or was it Ed, shared a picture of from Sweden when it was Ant scoring an equaliser against County Nice, maybe.
Probably
County Nice.
And
it's the emotion, isn't it? And you've said this before, it's the raw emotion. And
very much so,
They're the pictures I love the most. You know, obviously I'm stood with two Manx football's finest snackers here. So, what do you say, Dave?
Oh, I don't know, mate. I think
the emotion, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's what you want to convey in the photos, isn't it? Because that's what people really can relate to. So, yeah, I'd agree with that.
That one of Sid Batty running around.
Yes,
that's, I love that. That's a nice little photo. Switching the badge.
Yeah, he sent the ball, Batty.
Your headlines usually send people Batty, don't they?
Yeah.
Get people screeching anyway.
Right, we'll get on to the social media questions. And we've had last week we reckoned it was a record high 14, wasn't it?
Yes, and this week
we've had 14 again.
I'm in good company.
It staggers me. Not that obviously the people would be interested to send Gary in, but that week I've got that many people listening, Dave.
I know. I know, obviously, that my family and your family listen. A lot of those listen.
No, my mum and dad don't listen anymore.
Obviously, I listen now.
You have to now.
Right, okay, so we kick off again. I think Nick White had the first question last week.
He did, yep. So, should we say Northern legend, Nick White. With being chairman of FC Isle of Man, how big a part and how much work did you have to do to get this pushed through?
Well, I said earlier, most of the work to date has been done by, up to sort of probably June, July this year, was done by Paul Jones. Mm. Paul's done a massive amount of work talking to people and so on. But now we've got the board, and they're putting an incredible amount of work, doing financial forecasts, building the website, looking at how we're going to get sponsors and the commercial opportunities that gives us to make sure we've got money to drive it forward. And there's also the charity, a sporting club as well, which has got a lot of work doing it. So there's a lot of work going on in the background. And I say as chairman, I'm sort of hoping to pull it together a little bit and deal with, things like this.
And when do you think people can start sending you their 20 quid?
We've got to be a football club before we can do that, I think. Maybe early next year.
Ideal Christmas.
We have got, it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if we could do it now, but it would be a little unfair as we're not a football club at the moment. We are looking at the trying to find some way at the moment of people recording their interest.
Yeah.
We'll start producing a newsletter and that sort of thing. So hopefully, maybe before Christmas or early in the new year, we'll be able to do that. People will register an interest, register a newsletter and so on. So that's something we are looking at right at the moment.
Well, as you know, ours is burning a hole in our pocket, isn't it?
Yeah. You were the first person who offered. There has been one other who's offered 20 quid.
Nick also asks, obviously a bit of a tough question, this one really, but also which team do you think will benefit or kick on the most when the team starts going away each week and players aren't playing for their respective teams?
It is a difficult question. That I think what will happen, because I think Paul said this, everybody seems to think we're going to take the best 25 players out of the league. And it might not be that, because there's a massive commitment from the players necessary, you know, with training, going away every week, every other week, and playing every week here. It's going to be a huge commitment from players. And some players might not be able to do that through work or whatever. So we probably won't be the best 20-odd players, on it, what people perceive to be the best 20-odd players. So there's that to factor into it. But I also think that it does give clubs that perhaps don't see themselves at the moment as in the top four or five a chance to grasp the opportunity if they can, because it might, over time those players have got to be replaced and the youngsters are going to come through. So it's going to be teams that have got work on their facilities, got the best coaches, got the best junior setups. They've got a chance to actually establish themselves, to take over from the so-called big clubs.
Do you think we'll get to a stage where, I know this happens a little bit with rugby, and I think Dave will concur with me on this, that you almost have two different squads depending on whether you're playing home or away? Because you'll have people that, or will Jonesy say, well, if you're not going to come to Clitheroe with us, you're not going to be playing.
Yeah, well, that's part of that commitment thing, isn't it? If you can't commit to that, then that's going to be very difficult for you to be involved in FC Isle of Man, because it is a huge commitment, this.
You do see it in rugby as well, don't you? The university brigade, though, you also have the student players who are off Ireland anyway.
Well, that could happen. You'd hope that they'd come back and play. But it's not going to happen like that. We don't know exactly how it's going to happen. So there may, and I don't know, we don't know who the manager's going to be.
Yeah.
So how flexible they're prepared to be within that.
Yeah.
But the idea is it's Manx residents.
Yeah.
So there's going to be, it's a big chance for clubs, who don't see themselves as a top. If they can up their game, and offer that, and I think getting a junior setup is a massive part of that. I think that's really important.
I thought that, I don't know, because we were both at Peel Lexi on Saturday, it's a perfect opportunity for Lexi. They've got a crop of a lot of kids coming through. Now, I hope they don't mind me saying this, not being disrespectful anyway, not what you'd maybe say are top footballers, but all very good footballers that maybe not hoovered up, picked up by FCR initially anyway.
Yeah.
It give them an opportunity to seize that.
That Laxey side performed brilliantly against Peel, and you've got to remember they were missing probably 8 or 9 of their guys who'd gone to university who were probably first team players.
Well, almost, they're the example, aren't they? Those 8 or 9 could be an FC Isle of Man.
Everybody would have thought Laxey would struggle.
Yeah, well, hands up. Yeah, I did.
As soon as those guys went, they've stepped up. So there's that level of players below who've stepped. I don't know whether they feel they've stepped up a level themselves as players because they've had to.
Yeah.
It might have been comfortable in the combi, and now they've made that step up to the first team, and they fought really well against Peel. And man for man. As good as Peel last week. You can't say that. That was probably just about a fair result last week, I think.
No, I wouldn't agree. I don't think Laxey would have. I would agree. Sorry, well, Laxey, if they got away with nothing, would have felt. I would have felt. Yeah. It would have felt aggrieved. I would say. Even going down to 9 men.
Yeah. So I think the players are there. You take the best players out of it. Geordie's again another example.
Yeah.
They probably lost their two of their better players last year.
Yeah.
And the youngsters have stepped up.
Yeah.
And they're performing brilliantly.
It's interesting because I saw, I don't know, I found an old indie at home last night from 2004.
It's almost gone viral on Facebook. Yeah.
And I put in the goal scorers of the junior leagues, and it's a who's who, isn't it? There's Shea Sharkey's in it, Connor, Sean Kelly, even Sam Turton scored in the under 11 league.
The only goals he's ever scored. Yeah.
But Brian Callow, who's I think still chairman of the junior football league, he said the Isle of Man's best kept secret, you know, we're still 1,500 kids playing every week. I know the season just is on the cusp of starting now. I spoke to Mark Kelly, who does the fixtures, and I think he's the Junior League Secretary of the Week, and he said we're going to start first week in November. I think they've had a little grading games and stuff at the moment. But the kids are there, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, very much so. I mean, Brian's, I mean, the amount of work that Junior League does is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to see, come down the bowl on a Sunday morning, just see the number of people playing football, you know, juniors playing football. And they're away this weekend, aren't they? I think the Centre for Excellence are away.
Yeah, under-13s.
Under-13s, under-15s are away this weekend. So
So there is that supply line there, isn't it? And it's just about giving them a chance, really, isn't it?
It is that, and hopefully FC Isle of Man, if we are successful, we can help support that set up as well through the Centre of Excellence. And
I know when Paul was in for the first podcast of the season, he said we'll hopefully be coaching resource and such like, and maybe the links we forge.
Offer support that way,
Without it's going to be amazing. Right, next question is from Anthony Page, back onto the photography. Favourite ground to take pictures at?
It's a tricky one. I've always had a soft spot for Ayr.
Really?
Yeah. You know, but I think that goes back to playing days and sausage and chips in the Grosvenor. I always enjoy the trip up there. But I like Peel because of the stand. That makes it, they look like football photos. The bowl, I'm not too keen on the bowl, to be honest, but it, again, with a full crowd in, it looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go back to the Interleague Cup finals, you know, the photos look great because they've got a massive crowd in the background. But the Laxey I like, I'm not going to go name them all.
No.
I could, but, you know, I've always liked Ayr. It's a soft spot for Ayr, you know.
The mighty Tangerines. And he also says, first goal you ever captured.
I was trying to think about that. It may have been actually captured. Probably there's a few goal cam, very very blurry goal cam images from a game between Rushing and Jims.
Right.
But I presume somebody scored in the Colby Jims game. My first ever photograph. So I'm not sure. I don't know.
Right. And last question he asks. He says, he doesn't know. See, I think it's just asking if you've got. Do you have a slimming lens for match day officials?
I don't. But if they don't get side on, it doesn't look too bad.
you want them keeping an eye on the ball, not the camera.
Yeah.
Right. Next question in from our man in the north, Rory Poole. So, which player messages you the most after games, asking if you have any photos of them?
Nobody messages me after games.
Really?
Very, very rarely. Very rarely. And actually, very rarely do I get messages before games, unless people are after a new profile pic, like Ryan Gartland. So, are you coming to our game because I need a new profile pic? That's the thing. But no, nobody actually. Occasionally, somebody will ask if I've got any others.
Yeah.
You know, especially if somebody's come on a sub and I've only got one photo of them, then maybe I'll have a route round because I've. Over a game, you take somewhere between, I don't know, 700 and 900 photos, and you end up putting usually about 10% of them go online.
I have to say, I think that's where, now obviously the skill that you two guys have is taking the pictures, but when I was fanning around with the camera in other games this summer, the hardest process I found was going through the pictures at the end, because it's just so time consuming.
Yeah. You have to be ruthless, absolutely ruthless.
Your pictures are usually up within the hour, aren't they? After you get home from the game, which is unbelievable.
Well, I try and do and make sure they're right in the camera, so I have to do very little to them when I get home. But I am completely ruthless. If it's not in focus, if it's not got the ball in it, it tends to be if there's the ball and the face are the sort of the first thing. Somebody's facing the ball's in it, and then it's got to be pinch. It's got to be sharp as it can be, and then after that, it's. Do I like it? No, it's not saying anything about the game. I just I go through them very, very quickly.
It's weird because I found, as I say, harking back to my 1 week of photography experience, but I found that
everyone's an expert.
Everyone's an expert. I can see Dave switching off. He's already heard this. When I used to go through the camera, there'd be shots on there, and I'd be like, oh, they're not very good. But then when I put them up on a laptop, a bigger screen, I think, oh, actually, they're all right.
Yeah, you find that. Sometimes you look, it's the other way around. They look great in the camera, and then you put them on the screen. Actually, that's not very sharp. That one. So it is difficult. It is difficult, but you just have to be completely ruthless with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if I put every photo up, then you'd see some blooming awful photos as well.
Yeah.
But you never see those. So.
I have to say, Andy, you did an amazing job with the photos in the Island Games.
Point and click, mate. Point and click.
Yeah, I know.
That's all we do.
Yeah. While we're on that, actually, we had a question from Jo Overtee, and she says, what's your tips for aspiring sports photographers?
Find a sport you like. Mm. I mean, you know, find a sport that you love, you know, and you're passionate about, because that way you'll take better photos of it.
Will it be as well, you probably have a rough idea of the movement and
start to pick up tactics and so on. I think I've said to you before, I've done a little bit of netball, but after a week of doing it intensively at the European Championship that was here in the summer, I was starting to pick up moves where the ball would be. And I think over the week my photos got better because I was anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a bit of what I do at football. You start to pick up patterns of where people are and where people play. And you do start to anticipate where the ball's, especially in crosses, because that's quite difficult to. You've got the guy going across it, and you swing right round to get where it's going to go. Find a sport you're passionate about, and you understand. Once you understand the sport, it's a lot easier to take photos of it.
And what about the technical gubbins side of it? Now, I know you do a lot of research online, don't you?
I do. And that's the other thing I was going to say is read.
Yeah.
Read what top sports photographers. I mean, I learned something last week from a guy called Tom Jenkins, who's one of the best, and just you pick up little tips. And as a consequence, I looked at the photos I took at Peel, and they are a bit sharper than the ones I've taken.
Yeah.
I've been taking for the last year.
Yeah.
So again, it's just that odd little tip that you pick up, and read what these guys do. Look at what these guys do, and you've got to remember as well. Sometimes these guys have got more time. The professionals have got a lot more time, and they'll be looking for an arty photo to go on the front, front page of the Sunday Times or whatever. So what I'm doing is really documentary stuff. It's what's happened in front of me. Occasionally, when I try and get art, it doesn't always work.
Dave's nodding his head.
I have to add, because it's the Isle of Man, you have to do what Gary does and invest in a good set of salopettes as well.
Yeah, there is that. Good. The other thing, big, unfortunately with sports photography, I think as well, the gear makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have something with a fast frame rate. And so if you're starting out, tail your photographs to the gear you've got.
Don't start trying to take a Fireblade going down your brain.
No, exactly. Try and take stuff. Even if it's stuff around the game, you know, whatever sport you're doing, it's people, whatever, around the game. Start doing that and then move on to the actual action and so on.
Oh, I noticed Megan Dooley has now joined the budding ranks of amateur photography.
She has. She's doing a great job.
Yeah. And she started doing that, and she started taking pictures of people and around the game and they're lovely, aren't they?
Yeah, it's great. But I think that's important. I mean, I've started doing a little bit more of it, taking pictures of managers and so on and the crowd and trying to get people in a bit more context, because I think they're the ones that people maybe in the future will look back on and spot people in the crowd and so on. So, Megan's doing a great job.
You touched on that about the crowd and stuff like that. We had that old picture when Pulley were in the cup last season. It was the shot down Springfield Road, and how many people they had surrounding the pitch. It was just really interesting going through the pitch and seeing the old.
Sorry, what are you talking about? The one when St Mary's won it last year, or
no, it was an old picture. It must have been one of Madrock's, I think, or something. This is going back like 20, 30 years ago.
Oh, right.
Do you remember it, when Springfield Road was surrounded?
It was the semi final of the, I want to say, FA Cup, and it was Peel versus Pulley at Pulley, and it went to a penalty shootout. It's going dark, and literally all of Paul Rose had descended on the shootout. Big Stewie Morris made himself a hero. Never asked to buy a drink again in the Pinewood, I don't think, after he kept out. I think it was Pick, actually. Simon Pickering's penalty. I was at that game. It was a very good game, actually. You're right. They're the ones that evokes people's memory, won't they?
Yeah.
Next question then, Dave.
Yeah, from Tom Curfey, who are our under-18 football correspondent. He says, other than Moran, who's your favourite mixed football club?
Now, there's somebody who used to badger me before a game, asking if I was going to come down and take some photos. Young Tom. He was always very polite about it, though, which was good. Moran, because they were the ones I started taking pictures of in the under-18s, because they asked me to.
Right.
I'll keep an eye on the guys who played for them. But I haven't got a favourite. I played for Braddon and I played for Union Mill, so those two have both got a soft spot in my heart. So, yeah.
Next one is from one of the current Union Mill's first team manager, Stephen Fox, Foxy. He says, which photo have you taken as your favourite?
Well,
I think we should broaden this out, not just football as well, because you've got amazing concert photography as well.
Thanks very much. Football, it's Sam Kane, I think, overhead kick at St John's. Generally, there's a couple I've taken at Bushes I'm really happy with.
And you took some amazing shots at my wedding as well. So. you weren't miracles that day.
I don't do weddings. There's a couple of cricket shots. There's one of Luke Lacey taking a catch.
Diving.
Which was just, I mean, that was just so lucky that I happened to be pointing in the right direction.
Luke doesn't think so.
No. Bodo was lucky. The catch was brilliant. I don't know. It's up to other people, really, what they think are the favourites. But yeah, Sam Kane one is the one I like most. Honestly. I won't mention Dan Wade because he gets PTSD.
All right, the next question in from Joseph Andrews.
You do that.
Yeah, I don't want to get told off again.
Yeah.
Who's the most photogenic player in the Isle of Man? He goes on to say, I'd like to suggest Josh Ridings is.
Well, I can't say it's Josh Ridings, kind of, because there's two other Ridings currently playing as well.
Yeah.
There's Kane and Jack, so.
And then Sean's a photogenic chap himself.
Well, exactly. The whole family. It's the Ridings family.
And he also adds, I think obviously people know you're a big Man City fan, he says, why can't Pep win the Champions League without Messi?
I'm sure he can. hopefully he will. But no, there's a lot of luck in the Champions League.
Well, to be fair, he's doing remarkably well considering you've got no centre back. So.
Well, yeah, I think his aim is at some point to have 11 midfield players on the park. We've already got one in goal, so.
Total football. Yeah. Next question is also Man City based. It's from Jordan Jewett. He says, does the introduction of FC Alman mean you'll stop sporting the sky blue tripe from Manchester? Pretty harsh there.
Yeah, a little bit harsh, isn't it? I've never seen sky blue tripe. No.
I think you can always have a second team, can't you?
Yeah.
What's your second team, Ben? Chester City?
I do have a soft spot for Chester.
It was obviously where you were at uni, wasn't it?
You were at uni there, but... it's a tough question. I'm going to have to say the Isle of Man.
That's very... The ignorance sitting on the bench.
Yeah,
I'm a big Isle of Man Athletic fan after Everton.
Notts Forest or not, yeah.
Notts Forest? Yeah. You and Chris Cave?
I think it's that when I was younger, they'd won the European Cup. And
Gary Birtles.
It was Notts Forest and Derby County were the other one.
It's Gary Birtles, Forest?
Yeah.
Well, fair enough. Next question, Dave.
This one's in from Jack Kamada. He asks, who do you think will win the next Premier League this season?
I think I said St Mary's at the start of the season.
Yeah, 4-5-1, we've got it here in black and white. St Mary's, you've got to win it.
Peel to come second. I don't think I can change that, though I've not actually seen Mary's play this year. So.
What about Geordie's? 100% this so far.
Yeah, I'll let you know after Saturday. That's where I am on Saturday. So.
Okay. See you there then. Cool. That's where I'm going. Next question is from William Luke Brown. It's congratulations, William. I think you get Will or Luke or whatever name it is. I think you got engaged this week last week to Laura Feely, tennis star.
Tennis star.
So we're on the Instagrams.
Congratulations.
He says, which Manx club has the best fans? Now he's put # Peel Army because he is one of the Peel Ultras.
Peel's certainly got the largest following and the noisiest. I think if you were at the semi-finals of the Hospital Cup, was it the Railway Cup last year?
Yes, I think so. And they were all junior cup finals, if they get through.
I won't tell you what they were singing about me. It's the first time that's ever happened.
Oh, I do remember that.
I did actually get contacted because some people found some of their singing a little...
offensive?
Offensive, yeah. And I was asked if I was offended. And I said no.
No, I think you're talking about the Railway Cup.
Railway Cup final.
And it was Tom Wood and the cross come shot.
That's
in the 8th minute.
They were berserk, didn't they?
And there was that great picture we had at the back of the paper that week. We talk about emotion. That's just
the whole crowd, when
they were lifting Tom up.
Yeah.
And again,
Dave Neal's that, wasn't it? Brilliant fellow. That.
Was it Dave's? Not you?
Yeah, not mine.
Sorry,
Dave's.
But yeah, he was on the shoulders, wasn't he?
It was a brilliant shot. Right?
And there was a typical Dorman pun, the headline, would you believe it?
Oh, always is a pun when it involves
because his name's Tom Wood.
You're fantastic, mate.
Right, next question from Asian Rashid.
Oh, our favourite. First thing to ask is, hi Gary, I hope you're enjoying your brew from my mug.
Yep.
Excellent, thank you very much, Dave.
If you could photograph any match in the history of football, which one would it be?
Now, last time you were in, I think you had a similar question, and you said the Aguero City one.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Mm. But obviously, things like 1966 World Cup final would have been brilliant.
Mm. How hard must it have been pre-digital? Like, I'm not being funny.
Impossible. I don't know how they did it. Some of the photos that those guys produce are just unbelievable
with
the equipment they had.
Yeah, you basically, fingers crossed every time, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they could obviously see through the lens and they had some idea. They certainly, and they could fire off, I think it was something like 5 or 6 shots a second then.
Right.
So, but that was rattling through film.
Yeah.
And developed and so on. So, no, some of those photos are just out of this world. They really are.
So, 66 World Cup final?
Yeah, 66. Any of the World Cup finals. And also, I'd love to have done some of the cricket, you know, Test cricket. Yeah. Some of the Test cricket would be great.
What about a game you've played in?
Would you like? I played the Broadheath Central Trophy final.
Very quick to answer that. Yeah, you had that there.
Yes, I was in goals for that, and I can't remember who we played now. It might be Trafford South was the semi final. I can't remember who we played in the final.
Where was it?
It was at the North West Gas Ground in Altrincham.
Is that a ground potentially FC Alman could be visiting in the not too distant future?
I don't think so. No, it's fairly close to Alti's ground. Right. So, yeah, played that final. That would be a nice game to have photographed.
Did you pour some worldies? Did you?
I didn't actually. I saved at somebody's feet once. I think but we had it was fairly comfortable 3-1. I think we won that. It was quite a decent game.
There you go.
That was a long time ago.
He also asked, any chance you could come and take some photos of me for my upcoming calendar?
I have no idea what that may entail. No. So,
you of course helped do the infamous Corinthians calendar, didn't you?
Yeah, which I had no idea what they were up to. I was just asked to come up and take some. Can you take some interesting photos of the lads? That's what they said. Steve Corrin asked me on Facebook, could you come up on Saturday morning? I said, yeah, no problem, I'll pop up. And next minute they've got a list of photos they want taken.
Yeah.
And they've all taken their bloody clothes.
But as a true professional, he cracked on, didn't he?
Yeah.
Next
was that another point, Andy? Crack.
Next question. I don't even know what I'm doing.
No.
Next question is from Andy Ball, goalkeeper and biscuit raconteur. He says, do you feel inadequate parking at Derby Square?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Does you feel there's adequate parking in Derby Square?
There's certainly adequate parking in Derby Square. And it's very handy for our office, which is just off Derby Square.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he thinks it's because of the enormous houses that are now going for £1 million around Derby Square. Maybe that's what it is.
That's a very odd question, that.
It was. Last question in from Taylor
Andrew. We've got two more. So we'll go on yours from Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor Andrews asks, who's the most exciting player to watch?
Crikey, it's a tricky one that. This season, it's probably been sort of Dan Simpson and Reece Oates.
That, I have to say, last week's match, every time Peel, I thought, were pretty poor last week. They just didn't seem to get going.
Yeah.
But every time Dan had the ball, he looked like something's going to happen.
Yeah.
There was a very, very near the end, I think it was the last chance of the game. Luke Doherty pinged a ball to the left wing. Dan set off and then put an absolute pearler of a cross in for Dan Bell, who met it but somehow
didn't quite head it properly.
Yeah, Slinger and Screech were in the way. Yeah.
Closed his legs to stop it. Yeah.
But yeah, every time he looked like something was going to happen, didn't he?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think this season, Reece is the same. Something's always going to happen when Reece has got the ball at his feet. So yeah, those two this season, definitely.
Right, the final question is in from Tony Sewell. He says, Gary, do you still get a buzz when you see that your photo's in the paper?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still a bit surreal, sort of seeing the photo you've taken on the actually in print and other people are seeing it. It's you still get a buzz. It was weird, sort of like doing the World Cup in Sweden with Ellen Vanin, and seeing those photos popping up on websites in Russia and things like that. That was a bit odd. That was a real buzz seeing those. Although obviously they didn't credit me or or pay me.
Do you have a scrapbook or anything? Or?
I don't know.
That's a flick over at Facebook.
Yeah, I actually looked before just in case somebody asked how many photos I actually taken.
On
Flickr, there are 99,500 and something.
So we're going
to
do...
That goes back to 2008.
Yeah, but we're going to do the 100,000 this year.
Sometime this year there'll be 100,000.
Sometime in the next month,
about
I think.
It'll be four or five games, I guess.
Wow.
Actually, no, because I've got... There's gigs and stuff as well that go on there, so yeah, it'll be hit that probably in the next couple of weeks, I would have thought.
That's going to be some picture, isn't it? The 100,000.
It probably won't be.
We've built up too much. Yeah. Right, well, it'd be rude not to look at this weekend's fixtures while we got you in. Starting tonight, Dave.
Yes, we've got a Division 2
clash. I've seen you just checked your phone. Were you looking for postponements?
Yeah, it was just an email from Kev Maitland just to confirm some transfers.
Oh, right. Anything interesting?
I'm just loading it up. So
well, breaking news.
Yes, it's a big transfer. It's from Foxdale to Old Boys. It's Stephen McDonald.
Oh, great. Well known. I saw, talking of transfer, Nigel Moody's moved to Onkin this week.
He scored for Pulley the other week. But...
Anyway, we get distracted. St John's Brandon kicks off the action tonight, 7 o'clock at Molnycloy. We say we think it should be on. It's obviously been raining all day. Last Friday's combi game between St John's and Ayr United, even though you kept trying to post it down as a first team fixture, was called off in similar conditions. So this one's probably be a bit iffy, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. But if it does go ahead, this should be a good game. It's the top two in the second tier, so there's a lot to play for. Obviously, St John's are top at the moment, so they'll want to preserve that. So this should be a cracker.
Gary, have you seen any Division 2 this season?
I haven't, no. That's probably a game I would have gone to, but I'm doing the breast cancer fashion show at the Villa tonight for them, so I won't be at that. But it's probably one I would have gone to. I've not seen any second division, but that's Hattie's. Yeah, I don't like to tread on Hattie's toes.
It is, we say it every week, it's the best league in Europe. There's a couple of points between the top six or something stupid like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, we talk about it every week, and it's just difficult to predict who's going to win what, and that any team can take points off each other.
You look for games where perhaps decisive results could lead to a bit of breathing space, but even this one, if St John's win at the top of the moment, it doesn't really give them that much wiggle room, does it?
No, it really doesn't. And you know, there's, as you say, it's so bunched up that, you know, they know they can't really afford to drop any points. So if it goes ahead, I think it'll be close. Braddon have been good this season. They've played really well. I think they've gone under the radar a bit, but I think St John's will just have a bit too much for them.
Gary, do you agree on winning this one?
Probably, yeah, but I fancy a draw, actually.
The conditions could be a leveller. Right, I'm going to go with the Saints for this one. Maybe 2 or 3-1. Richard Wynn is scoring a lot of goals at the moment.
He does love a Friday night project.
And I think they are. I think he's joint top or second goal scorer in the Silver Boot race at the moment.
Yeah.
So I just think Wynn will maybe nick this one for Brandon, well, his former club, Brandon, for his current club, St John's. Right, in the Cadillac Premier League on Saturday, there's 5 games, and they're all what I've described as crackers.
They are.
My preview in the Max Independent this week.
As you so eloquently put it, by a quirk of the fixture list, they're all in the bus tomorrow.
They are. You could throw a tablecloth over this lot. The game that Gary's already said he's going to, the game I'm going to, is at Glen Country Road, St George's versus Rushen. This is a real test of both teams' title credentials, I'd say. Gary, I don't want to big it up too much because that usually ends up being a horrendous game, but this should be a belt issue.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be 0-0.
Somewhere. Yeah.
It should be a cracking game because Rushen have played well. The games I've seen them, I've sort of covered them a couple of times this year, and they played well, and they probably should have easily beaten Peel down at Croydon-Lowy.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a good game. I've not seen Geordie's play this year, but they've been getting some good results, scoring goals. So, yeah, I probably fancy a draw in this. But
I would. St George's obviously boasts the division's only 100% record as it stands. Geordie's, the fixture list has been kind to them in one way because they haven't played what you call some of the stronger teams in the league, Dave. But in other ways, it's been very disjointed, hasn't it?
They've had
Castan in a 3 week and then there's obviously the Armand FA game, so they haven't had a chance to get a good run going, as it were.
Yeah, we know that Geordie's thrive on these big games, don't they? Like Gary, I haven't seen Geordie's play this year, so it's difficult for me to say. I watched the Russian St Mary's game and I was very impressed with the Spaniards. I'm going to side with Gary and say it's probably going to be a draw this one.
Would you expect the Russian to be sort of punching so high at this point? With their, obviously they lost Dan and Josh in the summer. Big players.
Yeah, but again, players have stepped up, as we said earlier, earlier on, that players do step up. There's always somebody to take your place, you know. So, you know, it's the same with all walks of life. You think you're irreplaceable, but you're not.
You can take anything from this podcast
without a doubt.
I'm going to sit on the Dave Norton Memorial fence and go, I'm going to go for a draw in this one. Yeah. What do you think, Gary?
All three of us for a draw there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
so somebody's going to win that.
Yeah. Just down the road at the National Stadium, St Mary's take on Peel. In a game where it's sort of two clubs. Maybe need this result to kickstart the season in a way. I don't know that it's by no means. St Mary's have only lost their first game; they've won the rest. Peel are still, you know, they're still unbeaten, aren't they? I think.
Yeah, they're still right.
But Peel's performance for me last week and a little bit against Rushing in the second half wasn't where it should be if they're going to be title contenders. St Mary's, Ian Dowry will be getting another pound in his bank account because bounce back ability is needed this week for them. Do we think it's a simple case, or that St Mary's will be that fired up that this could be maybe 2 or 3 nil?
I think both will be fired up. I think Peel will be rocking after that late equaliser last week. St Mary's, that game, Dan Hattersley was on the bench for them, and he only came in the last 10 minutes, and then was then simbed. Mm. So I don't know how fit he is. Josh is obviously still a long-term absentee. Frank Jones went off injured last week, and he was a big loss to them. So I don't know whether he's back. If he's back, it's a massive plus to them. And I would reckon they would probably just about edge it, but yeah, Peel are going to be fired up for this as well. So.
Can you call the winner in this one, Gary?
Probably St Mary's, I think, as you said last week. Peel and the Russian game, they haven't quite clicked, have they? Peel,
obviously, Lee Gale was missing.
Yeah, Lee Gale. I don't know whether he's back this week. I don't know.
I believe I was hearing on the terraces
on the street.
Yeah, that he'd been he picked up a knock in training the week before the game, right. But. Yeah, you'd like to think he'd be back. He makes a big difference to them.
He will do. I mean, that gives them their dream front three, doesn't it? With Reece and Dan as well. So, if Lee's back, it may tip it Peel's way, but they just don't seem to have clicked quite right at the moment. So, I fancy Mary's for that one.
If I just interject here slightly, I've just seen
more breaking news.
Al Harrison's put the team up on Facebook about a minute ago. Dan Hattersley is in the squad, as is Frank, and also as is Liam Doyle.
Oh,
woof!
Yeah, Liam Doyle's in the squad. Woof. So,
oh well.
Yeah,
yes,
that is big news.
That is big news.
I wonder if Memphis though.
Yeah. Yeah, all the way to Memphis.
Right. I'm sure. Well, that'll be an interesting for you to see tomorrow, then, Dave. Because you're at that game, aren't you?
I certainly am. Yeah. So, what's this space?
So, tweets from both those games at Manx40Pod if you're out and about and can't get to either of them. Right, so that one again looks close. I'm going to St Mary's. Oh, we won't be
now with the breaking news.
Yeah, we won't be getting a pint and peel tonight, then, lads. Paul Rose Moran at the foot of the table. Two teams on big fat 0 points at the moment. At least one of them in the weekend off with having broken their duck. To me, I think this will go with the home standing and Pulley to win this one, Dave.
I think so. I've seen Pulley a couple of times this season. They were a little bit unlucky against Old Boys. I think they just went out of legs a little bit in that. Obviously, with Steve recently, you always know. They've got the talent there to get goals. So I just think they'll have a bit about them this weekend. They should get the points.
It's been a tough start to the season for Moran and Gary. They've lost their goalkeeper as well. He's obviously Gary's Horbury signed for Douglas Royal. It's just not quite happening, is it?
No, I think losing Ash Higgy as well to Jord is taking some goals away from them, and I think superior firepower will take it for Pulley tomorrow.
Paul Rose winning that one, we're predicting. Right, Douglas High School Boys versus Ramsey, another team in that lower, two teams in that lower half. Ramsey, no points so far.
And have they scored yet?
Nope. So four attempts, four games, no goals, and nil points. Old Boys have sort of their performances, if not results, have picked up in recent weeks. I think they've got 4 or 5 points now and sit comfortably in that mid-table. Will they be favourites for this one, Dave?
I think they will. As I say, I saw them get that win against Pulley. We know they've got some really good players in that squad. Mikey Booth was in good form. Jack Townsend, you impressed as well. So, yeah, I think the home advantage, if the pitch survives the weather, if that goes ahead, they'll be favourites. But Ramsey, you know, they're going to start somewhere and they'll have targeted this game. So let's see.
I think they'll get off the mark, if not in goals column, if not in the points column.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? They're good, because they're a good side, Ramsey. I mean, I watched them a couple of times last year.
Yeah.
And I was impressed with them. You know, a good young side. But they need a bit of confidence, I'd imagine.
But they also need the likes of Andy Perry and more of their more experienced players, if Martin Tor's still kicking about, to get them through this tough period. Because if you're a young kids, they probably haven't experienced this, having, you know, they had a very good season in Division 2 last season. I know quite a few of the squad were in the Premier League when they originally got relegated, but four games, no wins, no goals, it's a tough place to be.
Hopefully they'll score, and if they get a goal, then who knows?
Yeah,
you know, it may kick start them, but I fancy Old Boys to win that.
The final game in the Canlife Premier League on Saturday. Remember, it's our last weekend of 2:30 kickoffs, lads. Sees Douglas Athletic versus Douglas Royal, the Douglas Derby in some ways. The Pinks, again in that mid-table mix, sixth last season, probably going to be there or thereabouts again this season. Royal, it's not happened yet, has it? They've taken some tonkins already this season. Sitting on 0 points and with a minus 20 something goal difference.
Their season obviously hasn't got going. Again, this could be a game they targeted, but I think the Pinks will be too strong in this. They've got a good team there, so I don't know how many of their players are fit and ready to go, but I think they should get the points.
Home win?
I think so, yeah. Though, who knows? Douglas Roy, I mean, with Tom Chattel, they've got a guy who can score goals, haven't they? So maybe if they can score early and get some confidence from that, but I fancy Douglas Athletic. Probably the strongest side.
I think there'll be goals in that one, Gary.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we could have one of Manx Football's famed 6-4 games or something in that one. So yeah, that's 2:30 down at Springfield Road. Springfield Road hosting two games as always. So it'll be if you're a neutral looking for maybe half of one game, half another, that's the place to be. JCK Division 2, obviously we sorted off. There's the Friday night games. There's only 5 games on in the second tier on Saturday afternoon. Big games though, Dave, isn't it? And Union Mills taking on Rycob is probably the pick of them.
Yeah, I'd agree. Both sides tipped to feature heavily at the top of the table. You think they'll be disappointed after last week. They were 2-0 up against Colby and ended up losing 6-2. So, they'll be raring to go. I think Mills will be too strong. Great squad there, great players. They're still there or thereabouts up the top, so yeah, should be a win.
Your old club looking well placed to be among the promotion contenders.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, getting Sam Kane's obviously a huge.
Matty Kane as well. Everyone, I think the lads were talking about him last week.
They're looking stronger, I think, and they'll get stronger as the weeks go on, won't they? I think Rycob I saw at the end of last season, and they're a decent side. You know, they're a good side. So whether they can beat Mills though with that little bit of class that Mills have got, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think I'll be on the home win bandwagon there as well. Oncombe versus Michael United, Dave. Two teams that haven't really ignited yet this season.
No, I think obviously Michael struggled to get a full team out, but Pekka's in good scoring form, and if he's in good form, then you've always got a chance of getting the win. Be a tricky game this one for them though. Oncombe, I know we like to say in the past they're a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde side, and they've already sort of shown that a little bit this season, but I think they'll start this one as slight favourites.
I would probably agree with you. It's been the Shire though in his old stomping ground, so in his home village, as it were.
It's
because Oncombe Village Commission, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he'll be keen to put on a show before heading to the watering hole that is the Manx Arms.
I would have thought so, yeah. I mean, again, I saw Oncombe a couple of times last year, and they were a decent side, although they lost a lot of players, didn't they, over the summer. So I think, you've got to fancy Michael with that. And again, superior firepower.
I think there'll be goals in this one as well.
I think so, yeah.
Right, Colby versus Douglas District, for me, looks a home win, but D&D do have it in their locker, don't they?
Always say it every week. Just to placate them.
They got it out of the locker, that's what they
do. Colby favourites for me in this one. The manner of their victory last week, they're brimming with confidence at the moment. So,
Carl Hickey, defender turned goal scorer.
Yeah, a goal machine these days, isn't he? So.
Yeah, he should have enough. But then Stuart Clegg is one of the second tier's most prolific goal scorers, I'd say. Well, most consistent, maybe consistent is probably a better phrase. But Yeah, I'd have to favour home in this one.
Yeah, go home on that one, I think.
Jim's versus Foxdale. Now, we're looking out the window, it is raining. Yes. Jim's has pitched, though, to its credit. They've worked hard on it, Dan, haven't they?
They have over the last few years. I think it's Lee.
Somebody.
Lee, somebody whose name escapes me now.
But, they've done a good job, haven't they?
Yeah. They take on a Foxdale team that are playing well at the moment, though, Dave.
They are. They had a mixed result at the start of the season, but they seem to be going about their business quite well, and they'll certainly start this one as favourites. Jim's, I don't actually know who's manager of Jim's now after Tony stepped down a couple of weeks ago, so there's a bit of an unknown quantity there for them.
New manager bounce then, maybe?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. new manager bounce. This should be... I don't think it'll be overly one-sided.
No.
But I still fancy a Foxdale winning this one. Governors Athletic versus Ayr is the last of Division 2's games on Saturday. That one, to me, again, looks like a strong indication it should be an away win, because Governors, after beating Jim's a few weeks ago, haven't really kicked on, have they?
No, they haven't. Again, it's been a bit of a season of flux for them, hasn't it, with their managerial changes. But I still don't know if Sean Kelly's really played much, but even if he doesn't, you've got Johnny Shields, Matt Skillicorn, you've got a great team there, so yeah, they'll be comfortable favourites.
Yeah, I fancy Ayr United to win that comfortably.
At the Bemba Bow as well. Yeah.
The Bemba Bow, yes.
And more breaking news, I do like this today. tonight's match between St John's and Bran has been postponed due to a waterlogged pitch.
So don't listen to the bit you've already listened to.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking rubbish.
Yeah.
Right, Combi Corner, Dave.
Right, the first team may have struggled. St Mary's top of Combi 1 after a fine 5-1 win at home to Rushen last week. They had Joe Bergfest to thank for the brace, also scoring with Nathan Halshold, Darren Smethurst and Liam Bowley.
Mm-hmm.
Peel also won a high-scoring game at Laxey to lie in second. They had braces from Dan Corkle, Aaron Castain, plus further goals from Mark Kelly, Jack Elliott and Luke Corlett. And Corinthians were in ruthless form at home to Mount. They netted 8 without reply. They had some good players in this team. They had Connor Gorman got a hat-trick, Chris Cannell getting 2 goals, which is good to see. Phil Kelly, Tom Lancaster and Kane Ridings.
The returning Kane Ridings, who was obviously started the season at St Mary's, but he's returned to his spiritual home up at Bella Fletcher, wasn't he?
Probably knows he's got more chance of getting a new profile picture up there. There was another high-scoring affair at Springfield Road, where Douglas Athletic got the better of Castletown 8-3. There's no doubt the star of the show, Joe Rees, got 5 goals.
Wow.
For Dafka. Also goals for Jamie Clegg, Drew Ward and Jake Gartland. Alex Crawley and Mike Edge got braces.
And I believe, Castellan's Twitter feed is to be correct, that it was Alex Crawley's 300th goal for Castellan at the weekend.
It's a fantastic effort, that, isn't it?
Yeah, so well done, Alex. He probably quite easily could have moved to a Premier League
club. Yeah, no doubt. He's a good player, isn't he?
Yeah. Lastly, in Combi 1, Geordies were in ruthless form. They romped to an 11-1 win over Douglas Royal. Again, some good names on this one. Yeah, James McStay helped himself to a brace. Ben Wasser and Josh Kane also got 2 each. And Furu Davies just helped himself to a goal when he's not playing rugby.
Yeah.
Jordan Corkish, Ilium Long, Nathan Cardy and an own goal.
Cool.
So only 3 games went ahead in Combi 2. The big match of the day saw leaders Youth record a 5-2 victory away at Colby. Jordan Edge scored 2 for the Moonlighters, but Danny Allison got a brace, and Joe Neal, Jack Gilbert and Jack Perks scored for Youthy. The Northerners have now opened up a 5-point lead at the top after D&D were beaten 2-1 at Onken. Mark Quirk scored for D&D, but Ed Batty got a brace.
Good result that for Onken, that.
Very good. That's first defeat of the season that for D&D, so it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back this weekend. Elsewhere, Foxdale emerged triumphant 6-1 away at Union Mills. Jay Chatwood, not bad for a Combi player, getting a hat-trick.
Yeah.
Charlie Harrison, Mike Sloan and Felipe Santos.
I think it was 6-3, Dave.
What did I say?
6-1.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, typo. So we don't want to take 2 goals off Mills.
No, we don't.
Especially when they're scored by the wonderfully named Ash Bobbington Down. Sounds like a tank, doesn't it? Oh, have you seen them on the curry of the ridge and Ash Bobbington Down? Right. So, as we've kept hinting throughout this podcast, it's raining.
Yes, yeah. I'm afraid it's not looking good.
Last week, just to have a summary, you said there'd be 10 games off, did you say?
Yeah, well, I said 6 and then you made me change my mind, so I'm going to blame you.
I don't have that sort of influence.
Yes, you do. You are an influencer, mate. it was 10 in the end.
Also, right, and how many were off in the end?
10. No, 6. So I would have been right.
Okay. So, David's where then?
Right, so yeah, I'm afraid it's not looking good for the rest of today with heavy and persistent rain into this evening. It will clear up a bit tomorrow morning, but still with a risk of occasional showers, although the afternoon should be a bit brighter. So it's not looking totally great. But
I think we should at this point interject and say well done to all the groundsmen around
Definitely.
The Isle of Man. Because oh, yeah, there yeah. was, I don't know about you, Gary, but a couple of years ago, maybe a bit longer, a half those games wouldn't have been on
yeah.
last
year. Yeah. We could have had a couple of blank weekends
yeah.
this year, I'm sure of it. So.
But we have, to a certain extent, survived quite, you know, there's been a few off, but not wholesale.
Yeah.
So well done to all those
yeah.
people who are out there.
Brilliant effort.
Forking the pitch or cutting the grass or whatever, because you know, you're getting the games on the weekend, and that's you know, credited to you guys.
It's a lot of hard work goes on in the background there.
Having said that, we've had a wet week last week. Start of this week was nice,
yeah,
but it's persisted down for the last couple of days. What are we thinking, Gary? You know, we between us, we've watched more than 10 games of football locally in the last few years. So.
Let's go for 8 games off, I think.
8?
I'll go for 7 then.
There's no prize again.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at some of these home games. See, the Corby, they
yeah.
seem to have done a lot of work.
Yeah,
recently.
Yeah,
they're
on lot,
back on.
They would have been off, wouldn't they?
I'd say Blackberry ago. Lane, probably dicey. Onken, the Niversen.
That's improved in the last few years, yeah.
Colby seems pretty bulletproof,
yeah. Yeah.
Into the extent that they now have got a second pitch which they can
yeah.
Hire out. Mills seems pretty bulletproof. Jim's iffy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the edge.
Yeah, so I think you're right. Maybe that around that magic half a dozen mark.
Oof, okay, so 6, 7, 8. Sorry.
6, 7, 8.
Well,
one of us will be wrong.
Probably all of us.
Right, Gary, thanks so much for coming in and spending your lunch hour with us.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoy the rest of the season. Good luck with FC Isle of Man.
Thank
please
you
just
much.
Keep us updated. You
will
with
how, let us know when you want our £20. Yeah.
We'll be there round for that.
I think that's about it for this week, isn't it?
Yeah,
good podcast.
Yes, ta-ta for now.